Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Jesus and the Pharisees right after this. Well, how many laws did Moses give us in the Mosaic Law, and how many laws has our government given us in our secular government? Well, Moses gave us 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. Now, the state at last count in this country has given us 2.5 million laws. Now, the Apostle Peter said that we ought to obey God rather than men. He said that in Acts 5, verse 29, and Congress said that we ought to voluntarily apply the teachings of the Scripture in the lives of families, individuals, and societies. And our Supreme Court has said that there is a higher loyalty than loyalty to this country, and that is loyalty to God. And they said that in Seeger versus United States. Now, you know, every authority is in agreement. The Congress, the Supreme Court, and God Almighty Himself are all in agreement that the Scriptures are the final authority on law. Now, if you'd like to learn these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments and how to use them against government intrusion into your God-given rights, it's a right, it's a duty, it's an obligation that we owe to ourselves, to our families, and to our society. And here at the law school, we teach all 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments, along with the penalties that we all receive for the violation of these laws, and we do that twice a year, in the spring and in the fall. So why don't you make it a point to regain your First Amendment right to free exercise this year? You know, the First Amendment is the gateway to the Second Amendment, and in fact to your whole Bill of Rights. Now, the law of God is old, but it's not old-fashioned, and it's very relevant to our lives and to our rights today. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now the school, the Mosaic Law School, is available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, why don't you go to our website, that's georgegordon.org, then click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Go to the archives page and you can download it. All right, we're talking about Jesus. He was in hot water with the religious establishment of his day. In those days, they were called the Pharisees. And there was a number of these people over here that he didn't have good words for. You know, people like Pharisees and Sadducees and lawyers, the clergy in general, scribes, preachers. And the reason that he didn't is because these people were hypocrites. And he told them so. He said, you're a bunch of hypocrites over here. You claim to be following God and the Bible, but you don't. And I'm here to teach that law from the Bible, from Moses' law. And you people don't like what you're hearing. And they set out to kill him, and they were constantly trying to entrap him in his words. They were constantly harassing him. And in the end, they finally did kill him. Now, in the last program, I brought up the subject here in Revelation 2, 9, and 3, 9, that there are some people running around in the world today, about 20 million of them, claiming to be Jews. And the Bible says they're not, but they are liars. Now, let me think about this for a minute. Just mull this one over. How in the world could a whole group of people called Jews be liars? I mean, there's 20 or 30 million of them in the world. I'll give you a little latitude. Maybe there's 30 million. They really aren't a large group of people. When we talk about Germans, you know, in Germany today, native Germans, you know, people with blonde hair and blue eyes, there's about 60 million of them over there. There are more Germans, blonde, blue-eyed Germans, in the United States of America than there are in Germany. Isn't that special? Yeah. You got more of you German people over here than you have from your native land. There are more Scotsmen in America than there are in Scotland. There are more Englishmen in America than there are in England. Now, I don't know that there's more Poles in America than there is in Poland. I don't know. Some of these countries, I'm sure, as you took a look at our population here in the United States. But when we take a look at some big numbers, you know, like Germans, and English, Scotsmen, and you Irish. There are more Irishmen. I'll bet you there's more Irish in Boston than there is in Ireland. Now, maybe a little bit of an exaggeration, but you know, Ireland's only got about, you know, 3-4 million people. And I think I know 3 or 4 million Irishmen here in the United States myself. So the moral to the story is that these people that are calling themselves Jews in the Bible are called liars. You know, if that's true, that's identity theft, isn't it? Think about that. Now, if somebody came along and they took your name, your social security number, your credit card number, and they went out here and they started running up, you know, charges on your credit card, and they were calling themselves by you, wouldn't we call that identity theft? And say that's quite a little problem here in the world today. Well, normally we think of identity theft as, well, some guy went out here and he took my social security number and driver's license number and got my credit card number somehow, and now he's using that and running up these bills on my account, and we call that identity theft. How in the world would you steal the identity of Poland? How would we steal the identity of, let's say, Canada or Germany or Switzerland? Could you steal the identity of Liechtenstein or Luxembourg or Belgium? I mean, even small countries, and, you know, with just a million people in them. How would you do that? Because that's what the Bible here is telling us. It says, you know, you got these people out here, they're called Jews, not called George Gordon. I mean, it's easy to come out here and call yourself George Gordon and take my numbers and my bank account numbers or whatever and identify yourself as me and run up some charges and then run off to some far-flung place. But how would you do that if you were going to steal the identity, let's say, of the real Jews and you're a false Jew? How could that be? Well, that's what's happened. And we know that's what happened because that's what the Bible told us. Now, Arthur Koestler comes along. It's called the 13th Tribe, and the guy's name is Koestler, Arthur Koestler. And he says that's exactly what happened. He tells you when it happened. It was from the 6th to the 12th century by a group of people called Khazars. It's not well documented. I mean, it isn't something that you read about in your history books. But then, you know, there was a lot of things that you went to high school and went to college and learned that weren't true. Isn't that about the way it is? And now you're getting to be old. You know, you're middle-aged or you're getting to be elderly like me. And you look back over your life and say, my God, I was lied to constantly. Yeah, your teachers in school were lying to you. I don't know if they believed the lies they were telling you, but, you know, when I take a look at history, the Federal Reserve here in the United States, or I take a look at the history that's being expounded, you know, on the Civil War, for instance, and then I get to looking at other competing articles and stories, I say, you know, well, somebody's lying. When two people make a statement, and the statements are diabolically, they are opposite to one another. One of these guys has to be lying. When one guy says it's up and the other guy says it's down, it can't be up, down, can it? It can't be right, left, can it? It can't be hot, cold, can it? I mean, it's hot or it's cold. It's up or it's down. It's right or it's left. All right, so that being the case, then somebody's lying to us over here. What we're trying to figure out is, well, who's doing the lying? Well, first of all, Jesus said. Now, most of us, you know, being Christians or being raised as Christians, would tend to think that Jesus, being God and all, you know, the Word, Melchizedek, would probably be telling us the truth ahead of, let's say, Satan or maybe Bill Clinton or George Bush or Barack Obama. Well, let me ask you this. Would you believe Jesus or Barack? Would you believe Jesus or Bill? Jesus or George? I mean, you know, it's a choice that you have to make. When you go to church and you listen to your pastor and the choice is, who do you believe, Jesus or the preacher, that's a no-brainer. You believe the preacher. You don't believe the Bible, and you don't believe Jesus. And, you know, Jesus asked us that question. He said, why do you people call me Lord, Lord, and do not those things which I say? I think that's a fair question. Now, I'm going to take you back here in a little history. Maybe you'll remember some of this, maybe you won't. But do you remember in Genesis 6, 7, and 8, there's this big flood? Remember Noah and the ark and the big flood? All right. Well, all the people that were living before the flood died. Now, you don't believe that, because you've been told that the flood was local and it only killed those people in Iraq. It didn't kill anybody else in North America or Europe or anyplace else. And so there's all these races of people that evolved from that intermediate species, remember? Okay, now if you can get beyond that, let's just get with the scripture. The scripture says that everybody in the world was wiped out except Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. Eight people survived it. And there's a genealogy in the scripture, and it identifies these survivors by name. And then it tells you who their children were. That's called a genealogy. And about 2369 was the year of the flood. That's 2369 B.C. About 2006 B.C., a fellow by the name of Abraham was born. Abraham lived to be 175 years old. He had a boy by the name of Isaac. Isaac lived to be 140-something, as I recall. And he had a boy by the name of Jacob. Now, actually, Isaac had two boys. He had a boy named Esau and a boy named Jacob. I just want to concentrate for the moment on this boy, Jacob. Isaac and Rebekah, that was his wife, Rebekah, they only had two children in their lifetime. Two. One guy's name was Esau, who was the firstborn. They were twins. As a matter of fact, they were twins. And Esau was born first, and Jacob was born second. Now, Jacob, the secondborn, did not have rightful title to the birthright. In the scripture, God sets out an inheritance law. There's a modality by which we inherit. We don't practice that anymore. We now practice the fourth plank to the Communist Manifesto, and we have inheritance tax. We have wills and probate. We don't practice the inheritance law of the Bible. But there was a time, you know, when people did practice the laws of the scripture, and Isaac did that. And Jacob stole that birthright away from his older brother, Esau. There are no two ways about it now. I mean, you know, theft is theft is theft is theft. And by God, that's the history of it. And I'm a descendant of this guy, Jacob. And if you live in France or Scotland, Ireland, Denmark, Finland, South Africa, if you're a white living in South Africa, or maybe you're living in Holland, the United States, Great Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Iceland, or maybe in Sweden, Luxembourg, Belgium, Norway, or you come from those places, Germany, then you're an Israelite. And your forefather came from Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin, the 12 patriarchs. Now, maybe you remember you went to Sunday school. And do you remember a story about a guy named Joseph who was sold by his brothers into slavery in Egypt? That's the story right there. It was 11 of his brothers, Benjamin, Zebulun, Issachar, Asher, Gad, Naphtali, Dan, Judah, Levi, Simeon, and Reuben. They sold Joseph into slavery in Egypt. And then remember, there was a famine, and Joseph became the number two ruler in the country, and his brothers came down to get some food, and they didn't know who he was. You know, 20 years had gone by, and he knew who they were, but they didn't know who he was. Boy, did he have fun with them. How would you like your brothers to sell you into slavery, and 20 years later, you know who they are, they don't know who you are, and they have to come to you and ask you to feed them? Wouldn't you have a little fun with them? Well, he did. He had a little moment of revenge there with his 11 brothers. Now, he was, you know, fair to middle and good to him, but, you know, he did rake him over the coals a little bit there. All right, now the reason I give you the names of these guys here is because these are the people that Jesus sent the disciples out to the 10 tribes of Israel. He wasn't sending his disciples out to the Africans in Africa and to the Asians and so on. He sent the disciples out, one each, to each of these tribes of Israel. Now he sent Paul out to the Gentiles. There's no question about that. I'm not suggesting that you Gentiles out there. You know, you people that are born in Africa and Asia, you're called Gentiles here in the Bible. Now, most Americans think of themselves as being Gentiles. Most Americans, white Anglo-Saxons, are not Gentiles. They are Israelites, and they actually come from one of these countries. If you came from France, that's the firstborn. That's Reuben. Now, Judah, if you came from Judah, who's the guy I want to zero in on here, Judah had five sons. Five. Now, I'm descended from Judah, and I'm descended from Judah through a fellow named Zerah. Queen Elizabeth comes from Pharaoh's. Jesus is born from the Pharaoh's line of Judah. Did you know that Jesus was a Jew? Yeah, Jesus was a Jew. You'll see that in Hebrews 7, verse 14. It is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. And Judah was the name of the patriarch. And in fact, if you want to trace it back, it's simple enough to do. Just go to Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3. And there's the genealogy of Mary and Joseph, and their genealogy goes right back to Adam and Eve. It goes right through Judah. Yeah, it does. Check it out. So Jesus was a Jew, and these Pharisees were claiming to be Jews. But you know what? They were imposters. They really weren't Jews. They said they were Jews. Now remember what I showed you here earlier. You got 14 groups of people here calling themselves Jews. Now, if the real Jews are the people that descended from Judah, and if we could find some other people over here claiming to be Jews who did not descend from Judah, but they descended from somebody else, then they would be imposters, wouldn't they? Now, to identify these imposters over here, they're called Edomite Jews, and the guy that identifies them is Arthur Koester, K-O-E-S-T-L-E-R, and I gave you a name and address here the other day. You might be able to get this book yet, from Emissary Publications at Post Office Box 642 in South Pasadena, California, 91030. And the phone number was 818-794-3400. Now, they may be out of business and gone, and we don't know what happened to them. This book is still out there. It's an underground book. You're not going to find it just everywhere. If you'll go to bravenewbookstore.com, get that on your computer, bravenew.com. bookstore.com, or you can call them at 512-480-2503. Again, that's 512-480-2503. Now, the 13th tribe, Arthur Koestler, remember that spelled, it's an odd spelling here, it's K-O-E-S-T-L-E-R, Koestler, and he'll tell you the story about how these people, the Edomite Jews, the Khazars, impersonated, took over, and claimed the title to Judah. And what happened to all of the people who were the Jews and now are lost and don't know they're Jews or don't know what tribe they came from? That's why the Bible calls them the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There's nothing lost about them. Most of the people in Europe, you know, if I were to ask you people over in England, you know, where do you people come from? Or in Denmark, you know, Europeans are a lot smarter than Americans and Canadians and Australians. We're so far divorced from our roots, we don't know where in the hell we came from. But the old Europeans are not. And in fact, there's a group over there called the British Israel Society, and they keep the genealogy of all of the royal families. So when we're talking about this guy, Robert Bruce, remember Mel Gibson? He was playing the lead role of Wallace. There was a Scotsman there fighting against the English in a movie called Braveheart. You might remember that movie. Okay, well, George Gordon is descended from this guy, Robert Bruce. How do you like that? And the Gordons are very prominent in Scotland. We have our own plaid. We have the Gordon Highlanders over there, a regiment in the British Army. We've been around for a long time. You know, we date back to Moses. In fact, we left Egypt before Moses. So we have a little distinction there. Now, let me give you the genealogy of Judah. I'm just going to zero in on Judah now. Remember, we went from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. Now, Jacob had a boy named Judah. Judah has five sons. Now, this guy Judah is very prominent. In the Bible, he's mentioned 294 times. When we talk about Jews and Judah and so on, you'll find that word Jew and Judah and their descendants, a very prominent tribe. Well, we Jews were the biggest tribe in the census taken in Numbers chapter 2, 74,600 men that were age 20 or more. And if you extrapolate that out, you know, there had to be 74,600 girls. They represent about 50% of births, about 50-50. And then presuming that there were some children there, you know, normally we have a few children, we'd have more than 300,000 people. So in the Exodus, we numbered about 300,000. So it's quite a bunch of us, very, very prominent group of people. And from that point on, we are very prominent. In fact, in the world today, there are probably 100 to 150 million descendants of Judah in the world today. Isn't that amazing? But there's only about 20 million people in the world today that call themselves Jews. And the people that are actually descended from Judah lost their identity, and they don't know who in the hell they are. And you may be saying, well, how in the world could 150 million people lose their identity? Well, here's what happened. We became Christians. And when we became Christians, we gave up our Sabbath, and the Sabbath is our identifying sign. And the reason that the 10 tribes of Israel became lost, notice it's 10 tribes, not 12, that's because Simeon and Levi have been assimilated into the other tribes. They're not distinct. The Danes didn't. Those Danish people are very distinct. They're descended from Dan. And their main flag is a rattlesnake. It says, don't tread on me. When you see that sign, you're looking at a Dane. And all of our families, the people from Naphtali and Gad, Asher, and Issachar, we all have heraldry signs. And so when you look in the heraldry book, you'll find the Gordon heraldry signs, and our Zera line is a hand, a red hand with a red thread around the wrist. That's us. So if you've got that heraldry sign, then you know you're a Zera line Jew. See how simple that is? Now, this is all traceable, and there's a number of books on heraldry, and most of you people in Europe probably already know this, but for the benefit of the rest of us, you know, here in Australia and New Zealand, hell, we couldn't find ourselves at High Noon with both hands on a road map. That's why we lost our identity. Now, if you take a look at the number of Scotsmen and the number of Germans, who are the two main tribes from which Judah is now represented in the world. We number about 100 to 150 million. It's pretty hard to identify everybody, you know, from our tribe around the world. You have to go to a lot of countries. And there's probably a bunch of us, you know, in Germany, probably a bunch of us in Brazil, and a bunch of us here and there. If you go to Mexico City, hell, there's about a million people in Mexico City that are European. Okay, went down there after World War II. Left Europe and went to Mexico. And they're sitting around Mexico City to this day. A lot of Europeans in Mexico. They're not, by any stretch of the imagination, very representative out of 100 million Mexicans, but, you know, there's a million of us living down there, and a bunch of those people are Jews. Now, they don't know that they're Jews, but if they were to trace out their genealogy, I can tell you that all of you people from Germany, if you're a high German, not a low German now, but a high German, you're an Israelite, and you're probably from the Pharaoh's line. And Queen Elizabeth, let me show you how this works. Queen Elizabeth, nice lady that she is, and we know her from the House of Windsor, don't we? Okay. Well, her name isn't Windsor. Her name is Saxe-Gotha. S-A-X-G-O-T-H-E, Saxe-Gotha. She's a German lady. Did you know that? She's not even English. Yeah, that's right. And you can check that out in all kinds of books in genealogy. And it's pretty common knowledge. Most people don't know that, so I thought I'd report it to you. She's a Jew. She's descended from Judah. A lot of people are descended from Judah. Kaiser Wilhelm, you know, of Germany. All of you royal family people, all of you people that are descended, you know, from Queen Beatrix or Crown Prince this or that or King Juan Carlos of Spain and so on, you people are all Israelites. And from the Pharaoh's line. Now, you people in England are descended from a guy named Joseph, the guy that got sold into Egypt. Yep. And you Canadians, you know, most of you white Anglo-Saxons up there in Canada, they're divided into two groups. You came from England or from France. So you're either descended from Reuben or you're descended from Joseph. How's that for a report? All right, now let's zero in now on this guy, Judah. Judah had five children, and he had one wife. But he had children born from two different women. Yeah, he had an affair, old Judah did. Now Judah married a black woman, a Canaanite woman. Black Canaanite woman. Yep. And he had three children by this black woman. Now here's a white, blue-eyed, blonde man, who today we would call a German. And he married a black woman, you know, say a woman from Uganda. And he had three children by that black woman. Now, what would we call these three children from that black woman? See, we would call those mulattoes, half-breeds. They're called bastards in the Bible, bastards. Now, a bastard in today's parlance is a guy that we say is illegitimate. Now, that's not true in biblical parlance. Illegitimate and bastard have been combined to become a synonymous term. The truth of the matter is that a bastard is somebody who is racially mixed, and an illegitimate is somebody who is born out of wedlock. And there's a legal distinction between the two. Now, we don't make that distinction today in Anglo-Saxon law, but the Bible does. So Judah had three bastards. One's Onan, and Shelah. Now, that doesn't mean they're illegitimate. He was married. And was the firstborn, and under the inheritance law in the Scripture, he's entitled to the double portion. And the double portion includes the land plus a portion. So he's going to be the new patriarch of the family. He's going to have the family lands and a portion. That's one of three parts. He would inherit one-third. Onan and Shelah would inherit one-third without the land. See how simple that is? Now, went out and married a Hebrew princess. He married a white woman named Tamar. But before Tamar and could have any children, God killed Now, Judah was very, very important in the scheme of things. Because our Lord sprang out of Judah. Judah, or Jesus, was a Jew. And of what value is the Jew? Well, in Romans 1, verse 16, and Romans 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul, the apostle, says, these Jews are very, very important. Very important people. Very prominent tribe. Very important people. Judah has the scepter. The reason that Queen Elizabeth is sitting on the throne. The reason that King David took the throne of Israel is because he was a Jew. And in Genesis 49, verse 10, write this down. It's Genesis 49, verse 10. The scepter goes to Judah, the birthright to Joseph. Now, that scepter is the power to rule. That's why Queen Elizabeth is the queen. And that's why George Bush was not the king. You got that? The power to rule comes from the scepter. It doesn't come from the people. Now, I know you're a Democrat, and I know that you're sitting over here talking about we're going to vote in our own guy over here. But, you know, that's good politics, but it's bad law. Good politics and bad law. We also have good religion and bad law. And then you're going to find out that when this thing comes to fruition, the law is going to prevail, and bad religion and bad politics are both going to fail. Yeah, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's eight schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. 4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download it right there from the archives page at our website. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or the publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about Judah here. Judah, the fourth-born son of Jacob. Judah, who has the scepter promise from God himself, Genesis 49:10. The Messiah, Jesus, is going to be born from the patriarch Judah. But we got a problem, Houston. Our old patriarch Judah went out and broke the law. He interracially married and married a black woman, which was a violation of the law. It was a violation of Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. It was a violation of Deuteronomy. But remember, Judah lived before Moses, so Judah didn't know about Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 6. He hadn't read Ezra 10 and Nehemiah 3. He didn't know that. But he did know it was against the law because he had Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. He was one of the patriarchs. He knew what the law was. He was a criminal. He saw this black woman. He said, hey, that's a pretty foxy-looking chick, and I think I'd like to marry her. So he did. And he had three boys, Hur, Onan, and Shelah. Now, remember, before the break, married a Hebrew princess, white, blonde-haired Hebrew princess by the name of Tamar. And Tamar didn't marry into that family for no good reason, and that's because Judah was worth about $50 million, you know, in today's dollar. He was the firstborn of Jacob. Jacob, remember, was the heir. He had stolen the birthright from Abraham and Isaac. So Abraham had $175 million that we know of, passed it on to Isaac. We don't know how much Isaac added to it. Isaac passed it on to Jacob. Jacob then passed it on to his children. And Judah now, he's not the firstborn. He didn't get the lion's share. But because he had the scepter promise, he got a big share. Big share. And his share was going to be $50 million. And that's quite a bit of bread. Now, Jacob is going to pass it on to Judah. Judah's going to pass that on. And we don't know how much Judah added to his own estate. He's going to pass that on to Hur. Hur's got a wife by the name of Tamar. Tamar now is going to be a very wealthy woman. We don't know how much money she had before she married Hur. But this is a very important marriage. This is a very important estate here. Hell, it would be important today, $50 million. But Hur displeased God. God didn't like her, and he killed him before there were any children born. And this triggered a law called the Duty of the Husband's Brother Statute. So Onan, who had a wife and had children, his duty was to take Tamar as a second wife and then have children by Tamar, and the inheritance from Judah would pass to Tamar's firstborn son. That's what the inheritance law requires. Now, Onan didn't like that. Now that his brother Hur was dead, Onan, the secondborn, would inherit everything, and his firstborn son would then be the heir. But if he took on this Tamar, then the inheritance would go to Tamar's son. He didn't like that. So he refused to raise up seed with Tamar, which, again, displeased God, the Creator. He bummed out. He said, well, you jerk. And he killed him, too. So here's Judah's first two-born. This is Hur and Onan. They're both dead. Judah comes to Tamar and he says, okay, I got a third son here. His name is Shelah. And this third son over here, who's about 10 years old, you go home to your father's house, and when Shelah's grown up, I'll give him to you for your husband. So Tamar says, okay. And so she goes on back home. Some time goes by, 10 years, 20 years, something. And this kid, Shelah, goes out, marries somebody else, and Tamar is about to be aced out of the inheritance. And remember, God has a problem here. Remember this problem I said? The Messiah, Jesus, has to be born from Judah. And Judah now has got two dead crossbreed sons, known as bastards, and he's got one left, Shelah, who's a half-breed, and the Messiah cannot be born from a bastard. And that's because no bastard shall enter the congregation to the 10th generation. The Messiah cannot be born from a bastard line. a half-breed lawn. Now, for those of you that are out there that are half-breeds, you know, take heart. Take heart. You're the product of your mother and father. You're not the criminal in this case. You're the victim. And you'll have a place. There's no two ways about it. And then God isn't going to throw you into hellfire and burn you up forever because you're half-breed or something like that. But, you know, there's a racial quality to this program. And the Messiah is not going to come out of this half-breed, Sheila, although that's what Judah had in mind. And that's what Tamar agreed to. She said, okay, I'll do that. But it didn't come to pass. Now, Tamar, who's about to be aced out of this, as the story goes, and this is in about Genesis 37, as I recall. Let me look that up for you. There's quite a little story in here, and it's in Genesis. And it talks about Ur and Onan and Shelah and so on. Here's the genealogy of Esau in chapter 36. Joseph has a dream. Joseph, no, it's not in 37. Here it is. It's in chapter 38. Genesis chapter 38. Read that. And that'll tell you about the story here about Tamar. And Tamar dresses up like a prostitute, and she goes down along the road. Now, 20 years has gone by, so she's probably 40 years old. And Judah now is looking for some fun and frolic. He's down, you know, shearing sheep, and he's looking for something to do on Friday night. Now, normally, you know, we'd go to a whorehouse. He doesn't do that. He's out in the countryside. But he sees this woman's tent. He goes down. He says, hey, are you for sale? And she said, yeah. Now, this is his daughter-in-law, Tamar, who was married to his firstborn son, you know, 20 years before. And he doesn't recognize her. And he goes in, has sex with her, and she gets pregnant. And she's a pretty crafty old heifer. Now she says to him, give me your signet ring, your staff, and your bracelet. And that's because he didn't have any money. So he said, well, I'll pay you in the morning. She said, well, that's fine, give me some collateral. She takes the collateral, and then she disappears. And Judah sent a servant down, one of his buddies, actually wasn't a servant, it was a buddy. He says, hey, go down there and pay that whore. Because I had to give her, you know, I was hard up this night, and I had to give this woman my collateral. I gave her my signet ring, my staff, and why don't you go down and redeem it for me? He goes down, and this woman's gone. And Judah knows right away he's been had. I mean, that's like giving your credit card, you know, to a prostitute, and you'll be back to pay her tomorrow. She disappears. She's got your credit card. Talk about identity theft, huh? So anyway, some time goes by. Tamar blows into town, and she comes into Judah, and she says, hey, I got knocked up. And Judah says, what? What? You're pregnant? Yeah, I'm pregnant. And he says, well, you've been out playing the harlot. Let's take you out and burn you. Now, remember, the statute that requires burning at the stake, there's only two cases for that. It's the priest's daughter. So now we know that Tamar was a priest's daughter. Well, if she was a priest's daughter, boy, we're getting close to Melchizedek here. I don't know where she comes from. The Bible doesn't tell us what her genealogical line is, but if Judah said, we're going to burn you at the stake, that pretty well tells you she's a daughter from a priest, because only a priest's daughter would be burned. Any ordinary whore is stoned to death. You know, so just remember, if you're an ordinary run-of-the-mill prostitute, you get stoned. If you're a priest's daughter, you get burned at the stake. Today, in our mythology, we burn witches at the stake. Witches were never burned at the stake. Witches were always stoned to death. I don't know who came up with the idea of burning them, but burning is not the penalty. Just goes to show you we don't practice the law of God, never have. All right, now, with this much in mind, she says, well, you're right. I do deserve to be burned at the stake. But listen, the guy that got me pregnant, he also has to be burned at the stake. And that's because he did it with a priest's daughter. And here's the guy that got me pregnant. Here's his signet ring, here's his staff, and here's his bracelet. Judah looks at the goods, and he says, now, you've been more righteous in this matter than I have. Now, here's the first instance in the Bible of grace. Grace over law. And Judah said, let's rethink this. Instead of killing you, Judah, instead of killing you, Tamar, instead of being burned at the stake, why don't we have grace here? Why don't we have forgive and forget? Why don't we have kiss and tell? Huh? Now, my great-great-granddaddy Judah was a hypocrite of the first order. Notice he was willing to take this Tamar woman out and kill her. Isn't that what you have in religion today? Aren't you ladies out there branded? Now, think of Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Monica Lewinsky is a slut, isn't she? What's Bill Clinton? Oh, he's a stud. Boy, we all look up to Bill. Well, he's a stud, man. Remember this stud, Bill Clinton? He's the same guy that you saw walking out of church every Sunday with his wife and his daughter packing a Bible under his arm. Isn't it? I mean, you know, here's Jesus. He's calling these Pharisees over here, the religious guys, you know, the hypocrites of the day. Judah was a hypocrite of the first order. That's what we find in Christianity. That's where we brand the girls with an A, remember, because they're practicing adultery. What do we do with the men? We brand them studs. We let them go. That you didn't get from the Bible. You didn't get that from God. He said, take them out and stone them both. Take them out and burn them both. And that's why everybody hates the scripture. They hate the Bible. They hate the Messiah. Now, Tamar has these two children. These two babies are about to be born. Obviously, she isn't stoned. She isn't burned. Judah isn't stoned. And she has these babies. Now, there's a midwife here. They didn't have a pediatrician back in those days, just had a midwife. And this midwife knew that there was twins about to be born, and that this is a royal. This is important, because the firstborn child from Tamar now, remember, the father now is Judah. I mean, we got a direct link. It's true. They're not married. We got fornication here. And these two children are about to be born from fornication. Yeah. And these two children now, one of them is going to be the firstborn, one of them is going to be the heir. And this heir over here now, that's about to be born, he has to be identified. So the midwife takes a red thread, and a hand comes out. She ties the red thread on the hand, knowing that after this baby is born, there's going to be a second one coming. And so we don't want to get these mixed up, you know, like they do in the hospital. We don't want these babies getting mixed up now. The baby pulls his hand back in, and the other one's born first. This is called the breach of the scarlet thread. Breach of the scarlet thread. Written up nicely in our Silto-Saxon Heritage by Bennett, 1932. And from that day forward, we Zeraline, see, the firstborn was Pharaoh's, and the secondborn was Zerah, but it was Zerah that stuck his hand out first. It was my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, Zerah, who stuck his hand out, got the red thread on here. That's why us guys in Scotland think that you guys down in England usurped our throne, usurped our scepter promise, usurped our birthright. So the one that was born first was Pharaoh's, and the Scotch up there have been arguing over this, you know, for the last 3,000 years. We're wrong, dead wrong, have been, are now, and always will be. The firstborn was Pharaoh's. Queen Elizabeth sits on the throne. She's supposed to be there. If God had wanted the Zerah line to be on the throne, he would have let that one be born first. All right, so now with that out of the way, we've got this Pharaoh's and Zerah. Now, when we start tracing out these genealogies, we find out that Pharaoh's is the progenitor of King David, 10 generations later. Ten generations later, now he can enter the congregation. See, no bastard can enter the congregation to the 10th generation. The Messiah is a descendant of David, King David, who now is back in the assembly. 10 generations later, the Messiah is born, I don't know, 20 generations after that or so on, you know. Now, Jesus, the Messiah, when he comes back, is going to take over the throne of David. Who is sitting on the throne of David today? Queen Elizabeth. And then she's got a boy named Charlie, and Charlie's got a boy named, I think it's Harry. Is that the next one in line? I can't keep them two boys apart. But the firstborn is going to be the heir when Queen Elizabeth dies. Now, that's the way that game is played. It's called the inheritance law. Well, now, the people who are legitimately Jews in the world today are the descendants of Shelah, Pharaoh's, and Zerah. There aren't any descendants of Ur and Onan that we know of. Onan had some children, but I don't know who they are. Now, I haven't traced that out, and I can't tell you who or what they are, but Shelah had some children, and they're identified in the scripture. In fact, these people that we call Jews, the Pharisees, they actually identified her. Yeah, they did. It was in John 8, verse 41. So let me flip over here to John. Let me show you a little story here. In verse 41, he said, you do the deeds of your father. And then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. He said, They said, that is the Jews, they said, we be not born of fornication. Jesus never contradicted them. Jesus was born of fornication. Now, many people today believe that that's the fornication between Joseph and Mary. There's no fornication there. Jesus was not born from Joseph. Jesus was born from God the Father. Jesus was born from the Holy Spirit. It's true, Mary had an egg, but the Holy Spirit was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, not by Joseph. Now, you may sit there and say, well, I don't believe any of that crap. I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm just here to report it. There's no fornication between Joseph and Mary. But there is fornication. No two ways about it. The fornication is between Jude and Tamar. They weren't married. No two ways about that. So the Jews here actually identify the Messiah as of a different strain or a different line than they are. They said, we be not born of fornication. Indeed, they weren't. They were the descendants of Shelah. Now, what was Shelah? Shelah, remember, was a mulatto. He was born between a black woman and a white man. Judah was white, and Shelah was a black Canaanite. All right, now here's the way we tell. When you look at Jews today, look at their hair, and you'll see that they've got kinky hair. Why is their hair kinky? Take a look at black people and their hair is kinky. Why? Because the hair follicles are flat. Nothing wrong with having flat hair follicles, but it certainly identifies people. I mean, when we look at black Africans, we can see their lips are bigger than ours, their noses are broader than ours, and their hair is black and kinky. Why? Because it's flat. The follicles are flat. So you can just sit here and look at a room full of people and you can tell, where'd you come from? So I mentioned here a couple programs back, I had a student in here, he said, I'm from Italy. I'm an Italian. I said, son, you may be from Italy. You may carry an Italian passport, but you're not Italian. Got that? Now, there are people up in northern Italy that are white Anglo-Saxons, and they've been stranded in Italy for hundreds of years. And that's where this young fellow was. His name is Todd. And I could just look at him. I said, son, you're not Italian. You know, if a guy came in here and said, I'm a Ugandan, and let's say he's white, they're white people born in Uganda and carry Ugandan passports. They're not Ugandans by race. They are Ugandans by politics. Now, there are a lot of people all over the world, and they carry passports. And they're good people. And we're not arguing about that. And they say that they're Germans or that they're Ugandans or that they're Americans or Canadians and so on. Well, here in America and Canada, it's true. We got a melting pot here. We got people from all over the world. So when somebody says, I'm an American, you don't know if the guy's black, white, or green. You don't know if he's an Indian, Native American, or somebody else. He says, I'm an American. But when a guy says he's a German, we expect a blue-eyed blonde, don't we? All right. So when we see somebody that says that he's a Jew, well, then we need to look at this guy, the Jew. Is he a blue-eyed blonde descended from the Germans and Judah and Tamar, or is he a mulatto who is descended from Sheila, who was the crossbreed? I'll ask you, and then you think about that until next time, because we're out of time, and we got to remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. All right, we're out of time. I got to give you a final reminder here. We'll see you next time, tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.